to Moonbase 2.
Everybody, welcome to Many Different Things, Nerdsphere Debate, Episode 2. Though technically this is Episode 1, because Episode 1 was recorded when we didn't know what the hell it was going to be. So it's Episode 2. Anyways, it's me hosting. Matt has let the reins off. That would be me as in Hot Rod G1, aka Phil. And I've got a couple of people with me, because today we're going to discuss the latest movie, Iron Man 2. Where will we go first? To my left, a new voice. Guys, calm down. She's a woman. Calm down. Philly, hi.
Hello.
Good to have you aboard.
Cool. I have seen the film twice, so.
Well, see, you're probably the only person here that has seen it twice, so maybe you'll have more insight than we will.
I've seen it three times if I could drag someone with me.
See, I'm like that. I generally can't find anybody to go with the couple more times. And two Phillies left. Oh, God, it's him. Hi, Mikey.
You're a darling, man.
How are you?
I am fine. How are you? I don't care. Don't answer.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. It's like we're sick of talking to each other. Comics Corner, no. Anyways, and by special request? No, it's not really. Was it special?
Are you special?
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, special needs, but.
So, we have our panel. It's myself, Andy, Mikey, and Philly. And we're going to discuss Iron Man 2, which thankfully came out in the UK this weekend. Americans.
Wah, wah.
Wah, fail. Just to warn you guys before we do start talking, this is going to be spoilerific. We're not holding back. We've seen the movie. If you haven't and you don't want to be spoiled, turn back now. Somebody can do that more epic than me.
Jog on.
Turn back. Go back.
That's just spooky. That's just scary. But then again.
Get out of bad spark to do it.
Turn back now. Spoilerific.
Sorry. He has to get in there everywhere, doesn't he? Anyways, we'll get on to the movie instead of me making a fool of myself. So, shut up, you. There's the customary reply to everything Mikey says to me. Shut up, you. Anyways, Iron Man 2, directed by Jon Favreau. Favreau, how do you pronounce it?
That's how I say his name.
The guy that looks like Hank from the X-Men but didn't get to play Hank from the X-Men, that's who that dude is. But that's a completely different discussion. Sorry, sidetracked. Anyways, yeah, so we have returning cast members, Robert Downey Jr. and Gwyneth Paltrow. We'll get into this. So basically, We'll start with Robert Downey Jr. We'll start with the lady. Philly, what do you think of Robert?
Oh, I absolutely love him.
What do you think of him as Tony?
I think he's brilliant. He's very, very sort of insane and narcissistic.
Here's a quick question. Have you had any other experience of Tony Stark apart from the movies?
A little bit, but not much. Mainly stuff Adam's made me watch.
Okay. So you're familiar with the character then?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
I tend to read obsessively, so.
Oh, right, okay. Andy?
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, that guy's a dude. He's pretty good. He's a pretty awesome actor. And I like him in this role. He does Tony Stark good justice and makes the character a lot more fun than some of the comics have made him out to be. I haven't read a lot of Iron Man comics. I've only read, like, Civil War, where he's appeared. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago, so it's hard to remember. And I also saw the old cartoon when he was just...
So, Mikey, on to you. Robert Downey.
A very good actor. And he brings a lot of life to the character, and he makes you both dislike and like the character, which is the whole point.
Okay, I'm of the mindset that Robert Downey Jr. is the man that was born to play Tony Stark. Just like Patrick Stewart was destined to play Professor X. Basically, when you think of Robert Downey Jr.'s past, this guy who had everything, he was famous, he did drugs, he did drink. I remember reading a story where he got arrested for doing drugs, and the first thing he did when he got bailed out and released was go home and take drugs out of the bin and do them. You know, so this guy has been rock bottom. And for the original Iron Man movie to relaunch his career in the way it has, because he's had a lot since then, you know, he's done Sherlock Holmes and whatever else he's been in recently. But yeah, no, this guy was born to play Tony, because when you think of who Tony is and the alcohol abuse and stuff like that, that millionaire playboy-esque, I really don't think I could imagine anybody else being that character. Anyways, let's sort of talk on something that sort of broke the fandom in two. The recasting of Rhodey. Obviously in this movie, he's played by Don Cheadle. And I'm going to completely have a brain fart here. Can anybody remember who played him in the first movie?
Terrence Howard.
I'm not normally a fan of recasts, but I think Don did fine. Would anybody disagree?
He was all right. I would have preferred Mr. T.
Mr. T as a war machine.
Yeah. I ain't getting no Sufu.
That would have been hilarious.
That actually would have been quite good.
How good would that have been? And he would have had a quality beard.
And every time he kills someone, he just goes, "Take that, sucker."
Exactly, see? Like, when I said it, you thought, "Oh, Andy, you're just being silly again."
Yes.
But now you think about it.
It would be fun.
But you'd have a problem. He'd never get the hair into the helmet.
They'd just have to cut a wee hole in the top for his mohawk to poke out of.
That'd be awesome.
But that would be his weak spot, obviously. Shoot him in the top of the head! Anyways, I really don't think there's an awful lot to say about Rhodey. I do like the fact that they did address that he'd been recast.
I think that's anything that stopped me from hating him.
Yeah.
So I hate recasts, but that bit kind of made me like him a bit.
It's like, I'm here, deal with it, move on. Yeah, that was good. Let's see. Scarlett Johansson. We'll move on to Natalie Rushman / Natasha Romanoff. Anybody got any thoughts on how they portrayed Black Widow?
Hated her.
You hated her?
Hated her.
Why?
I don't care how good looking she is. That was a terrible piece of acting.
Look, I can forgive the fact that there was no Russian accent.
I don't mind the accent. It's the fact that the character was dead, even when it was supposed to be pretending to be alive. And that stupid fight scene where he had slow motion zooming in her face every 5 seconds. Ah! I'd rather had Gwyneth Paltrow do the fighting.
To be honest, I enjoyed Black Widow's fight scene, but, you know, it was blatantly a dude in a suit or, like, a really buff chick at some point, you know? But, but, like, I, like, Black Widow's just kick-ass, and to see her kick-ass was just, like, sweet. I didn't care that, like, there was zero act in there. That for me, was just like, yeah, hot woman in leather kicking butt, you know?
I think that's the reason why she didn't need to act.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yes, but not all of us, Phil, have the mentality of horny 14-year-olds.
Oh, shut up. But if you actually look at the poster of the movie, the poster of the movie, Natasha's piece of the poster, is she standing in her black SHIELD uniform, which is major spoiler, with her ass poking out and she's looking over her shoulder.
That's the Baroness effect.
Well, see, this is it. That is quintessential Black Widow comic book covers. It's always her ass sticking in the air or something, you know. So I think that, like, but I wasn't really expecting a lot from Black Widow due to the fact that when I found out she was a SHIELD agent, then I knew she was a good guy, that she wasn't gonna be going up against Tony, that I really had any problem with it. So, Andy, what did you think? Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson.
She just seemed to be there. I guess it was nice to have Black Widow in, but I don't know. Maybe they're trying to set up a potential romance in the future, like maybe a triangle effect or something in like another Iron Man movie. I don't know.
Well,
she did what she was meant to, I guess, but it wasn't much.
Going geeky comic-wise here, in the Ultimate Universe, Tony and Natasha are an item for a long time. In fact, I think there's an issue of the Ultimates where somebody plays a sex tape of them.
It's third one.
Yeah.
Ultimatum. Ultimates 3.
So it could potentially be setting that up. Philly, what did you think of Scarlet?
I like the fighting bits, but other than that, she was just meh.
Yeah, I don't think she was meant to have much substance.
No.
She was there for the fact that SHIELD needed something, and obviously we find out near the end of the movie that she's there for purposes of SHIELD in watching Tony. So, Pepper Potts, Gwyneth Paltrow returning to play Pepper. I don't know. For me, I don't know. I just can't really latch on to Pepper in the Iron Man movies. She was better in this one. She has a lot more to do in this, but I don't know. I don't have anything I can really say about her. She's there, and that's that. No, she did well enough in what she was given and in what she was trying to portray. It wasn't a bad performance, I guess. What?
So committed.
Of course I'm committed.
You should be.
Well, what did you think then?
I thought that she existed primarily to basically give Tony someone to react against that would react back. Everyone else was like, Rhodey was trying to get him down to earth and everything like that. She was able to play on his level kind of thing. And she wasn't much of an individual character, but for the role she was given, she played it very well.
I definitely think she's there to give Tony a sounding board, but she was like that in the first one as well, I suppose. There needs to be somebody that has the strength of will, or potentially the strength of will, to give Tony a fight when he's Tony. But she cracks
Except
a lot.
She's very squeaky.
Hmm?
She's very, very squeaky.
And then
every time she talks, she squeaks.
Oh, yeah! What? It's like, there was dogs outside my cinema, like, after I got out. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, but think of the merchandising. Squeeze me, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh, I'm sure Phil already has a couple of them.
No, I'm not.
He has the life-size
model. I'm not
model.
A big fan of Gwyneth exactly. Paltrow.
The life-size model with the handy inflatable aspect.
And what was Andy's opinion on Pepper Potts?
Again, she she was just kind of there in my eyes. She didn't really add a lot to. Well, she in some aspects she did. She did again what she had to do, and that was be the more normal person for Tony to bounce things off. And she was almost a normal audience member, like looking at Tony and saying, "What the fudge are you talking about, Tony?" No, I don't. Why would you give me strawberries when you know I'm allergic to them?
That was funny. Hey, at least I remembered there was a connection between you and strawberries. Anyway.
He was trying to murder Pepper Potts at that point.
Yeah, it was like, you've taken over my company. Die!
Death by strawberries.
That would be awesome. Woman dies on strawberry. How did she die? They were forced down her throat.
Cake got dead.
Strawberry cake. Anyways, getting on to a few of the more important characters that hopefully maybe we'll have some kind of opinion on. First, we'll go on to Sam Rockwell, who played Justin Hammer. Who, in my opinion, was the performance of the movie. Sam Rockwell did well as Justin Hammer, I think.
You are entitled to that opinion.
Because
I would agree with Mikey.
Because Justin Hammer is this like nerd who's always wanted to be Tony. And tries to, like, mimic him. And tries to sort of, like, follow in his footsteps, hoping that one day he'll clamber over him. And always just was a doofus in doing it. And I think Sam Rockwell did that just fine. Feel free to disagree. Oh, and everybody goes silent. Mikey, come on, disagree with me.
Oh, I will. I despise him. I absolutely despise him. I thought he was the worst character in the movie by miles.
What?
I think that kind of character has been done to death in every other movie that's ever been made that involves a shady businessman. And not only that, but he was so over the top and so badly played. And I don't think it's the actor's fault, but I think they said, we'll have this comic, I'm trying to be cool, business guy who's supposed to come across as slightly sinister, and, you know, he does that whole, when I'm working with you, and now I'm going to take all your stuff away kind of thing. He was so crap. I, honest to God, I started just rubbing my forehead and closing my eyes whenever he was on screen. It just, go away, annoying man. You're like me.
You feel embarrassed for him.
Yes! You just, your mother is sitting at home somewhere watching this, and she is ashamed of you.
But I think
he's
that
like,
was the
you know
point.
Like? He's, but you know what he's like, Phil?
What?
He's like me if you couldn't turn me off.
Oh, God.
But you see, I think that's the point. The point was you were meant to feel embarrassed for him. You were meant to feel sorry for him because he so wanted to do this.
But they took that way, way, way too far. It went from, oh, look, he's that sad to, yeah, we get it. Shut up.
Oh, come on, you gotta love that little dance scene he did at Stark Expo.
I'd have broken his legs.
I think I didn't mind him until he started eating the lollipop, then it was like, okay.
Andy, I know you agree with Mikey, but go for it.
Do you remember my comments on Leo from Transformers Revenge of the Fallen? This was my Leo. I wanted to push the straws in my cup into my eye and have people drain my eye fluid out just to stop the pain. I wanted to kill this man. He was so incredibly irritating. I wanted him dead. He had the same kind of humor I looked at as well as stupid Leo, like, oh my god, I'm so cool and yet a nerd. He just annoyed me on so many levels. And if he was meant to do that, bravo, fella. You did that in leaps and bounds.
Oh, come on, please tell me you didn't laugh at the fact that sort of like he called his missile the ex-wife.
Like that guy's had a girlfriend ever.
I know. We shall move on, seeing you've like all like ripped Sam Rockwell of his acting abilities. To Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke, who played Ivan Vanko. We'll start with Philly. What did you think of Ivan?
I really liked Ivan. A lot more than Justin. I just liked the whip things. That's the only thing I really liked about him, and the fact that he kept hacking into everything, which Hammer put him next to.
Yeah. It's Ivan was this character that was there just play a specific role, and that was obviously to because he didn't have a lot to do in the story. He was to be honest, I didn't see him as the main villain. The main villain was obviously meant to be Justin, but
the main villain was Tony.
I suppose. Depends on what way you look at it, yeah. But for the main bad guy kind of thing, but I was quite surprised that Mickey Rourke held a Russian accent. I don't know why I was surprised by that. But no, I think Mickey Rourke did good. This is another guy that's kind of like come back with a vengeance after all of his troubles and tribulations in life, and for the limited amount of story that Ivan got, I think he did really well. And I think he did really well as Whiplash, I really do. Especially in suit and stuff. But there was a limited amount for him there, really, to do.
No, he did what he set out to do.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he tried.
Well, he set out to make Tony bleed, and he did bleed.
Oh, that's true. It's true. A number of times.
Exactly.
So he got more than one victory. Mikey, Ivan Vanko.
I really liked him. I felt that, yes, he was probably underutilized in the long run, but I felt he was a character who was always in control. No matter the situation, this guy, you always felt like even he had something that, even if it went wrong, it went right for him. Like, he attacked Tony on the racetrack. He didn't kill him, but ultimately, he still wins. Mm. Kind of thing. I really like that. And when he's dealing with Hammer, you know that he is constantly doing whatever the hell he wants, but he's got Hammer jumping in hoops.
Oh, yeah.
And there's that scene where he says, I've taken away all your stuff. How does that make you feel? I was just sort of looking at him and going, he doesn't care because he's going to kill your guards and do very bad things.
It's like, ha, I've got your shoes. That was like, that's something like somebody would do in high school. It's like, ha, I've got your shoes.
Yeah, but it was just, I really liked him, and I would have liked, I wish they'd done sort of an Abomination from the new Hulk movie and not killed him off, because I think you could really develop him into a really good villain.
I don't know if they did kill him off, though. I was not convinced that he was dead.
He blew up.
Yeah, but you see him lying there, and there's like no blood on his face or anything.
Yes, but he was in a suit that was blowing up.
No, because they didn't shoot the suit. They shot against each other.
Yes, but it was a self-destruct device.
Whatever. Anyway.
He blew up. I'm sorry,
I just have this feeling that Ivan will be back.
I'd like him to be.
Out of the suit.
How far is he going to get? The whole place went up. If he's back, he is not going to be in very good condition. He'll be head full.
But this is comics, so like...
This is movies!
Nobody really ever dies. Final cast member we'll talk about, just because we need to talk about him.
You forgot so, Andy.
Am I not allowed to... Yeah, I was going to say, am I not allowed to talk about...
Oh, sorry, Andy, go ahead, sorry. My apologies.
No, I don't want it now. Don't
talk
want
about
it.
Ivan. You know what you want.
I do. I liked him, but... The only problem I had with him was, obviously, he gets a suit at the end, and I just thought to myself, why Whiplash or Backlash? Why not Titanium Man? Why not? I don't know. Give me leeway here, because I don't know much about Iron Man's villains. Like, why not make him Crimson Dynamo? That guy was... Ivan was Russian. Crimson Dynamo's from Russia. He made a suit. Why not just... make him Crimson Dynamo. You know, he just seemed to become generic Iron Man bad guy in robot suit.
Yeah, well,
I think that's a problem I always have with Iron Man villains or Iron Man villains.
There's a generic problem with Iron Man in the respect that a lot of his villains are going to be basically men in suits.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, as you say, you've Titanium Man, you've Warmonger, there is, you just said him, Crimson Dynamo, you know, but then you've got other ones that really just wouldn't work. You've got, things, like, the fact that they use Whiplash quite kind of surprised me. But people like Whirlwind, who
in
else?
A suit.
you know,
it'll be the next one.
No, but I'm just saying. So like Immortus. Ooh, who else can I think of? The Grey Gargoyle, Fing Fang Foom.
Pushing for Fing Fang Foom from Movie Tree.
But see, Fing Fang Foom's an alien dragon.
I would actually push more for MODOK. All you do for MODOK is you just make him a computer program.
Yeah, but
there's MODOK. There we go.
To be fair, Phil, they're doing a movie about a Norse god.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be an interdimensional being.
Shut up! It doesn't have to be. He's a god. You don't need to explain it. He is.
Oh,
a
please!
God.
They're making it real life. He will be an interdimensional being where he has greater powers over man.
No.
Yeah, but in that case, they have to explain where the Hulk gets his extra mass from, don't they?
No.
Thor will be a Norse god. He will.
He better be, or I'll hurt.
Well, then, if that's the case, why not have magic in?
Why not have Fing Fang Foom show up? He's cool.
We'll see.
Mandarin. Show the Mandarin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mandarin is the villain that we need to see.
Yep.
Because they hinted at the Mandarin in the first movie by mentioning the Seven Rings. So why totally ignore him all of a sudden is beyond me. But yeah, Iron Man has either costumed villains, armored villains, or really lame guys in latex suits like Boomerang, the guy who just chucks boomerangs at you. So there is an inherent weakness in his rogues gallery. Anyways, we'll move on to the final cast member that I thought we were going to talk about, or we need to talk about, which would be Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. Andy, we'll start with you, seeing I forgot you last time.
He was awesome. Anything with Samuel Jackson in is win for me. I love him. The best part was in the donut shop, where that man did not blink. I watched as much as I could, and he never blinked when he was looking at Tony, and I thought that was awesome. I really liked the inclusion of Nick Fury. He had more presence in this movie, which I was happy to see, because I was like, oh, are they going to... You know, before we saw trailers and stuff, I was like, oh, we're probably not going to see Samuel again, because, you know, he's a big movie star, so they probably won't redo him for, I don't know, for a while, until maybe the Avengers movie. I was really happy to see I was wrong, because Samuel in anything is good in my books. And I think he did a good job here.
Samuel L. Jackson signed a 9-movie deal with Marvel. We're going to see a lot of Nick Fury.
Not complaining about.
No.
Okay, Philly, go with it. Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson.
I absolutely love Samuel L. Jackson. I think he's great as Nick Fury. Every time he's on the screen, it's like, yay!
See, before we go to Mikey, I need to vent. I really need to vent. I am a Marvel fan.
Let me guess. You like your white Nick
I am
Fury.
A 616 fan.
Racist.
Shut up. I am a
616.
It? It's not because he's black.
It's because he's black and he's got one eye. And you're just sort of, oh, the table and he's the wrong color.
616, yep. Nick Fury wears an eye patch too.
Yeah,
chops a cigar, has gray hair in amongst his dark hair. I just grew up with 616 Nick Fury. For them to suddenly, in the comics, go, oh, crap, let's make this character look like Samuel L. Jackson. And then when they get to thinking about the movies, they go, holy crap, we can get Samuel L. Jackson to play him. I really want my movies that I go to see, the Marvel movies that I pay to see, to be the 616 universe. Now, the Marvel movie universe seems to be trying to squeeze 616 and Ultimate Universe into some kind of big amalgamated ball that they're going to chuck at us. And I Samuel L. Jackson's performance as Nick Fury is brilliant. Don't get me wrong. He does it really well. He's just not my Nick Fury. I don't see... Ultimate Nick Fury is my Nick Fury. It's like when Hawkeye turns up, I believe it's going to be in the Thor movie. If it's Ultimate Hawkeye, then that's not Hawkeye to me, because Ultimate Hawkeye wears leather, which is black and red, I believe, and runs around with guns. The whole point of Hawkeye is he's an archer, you know. that's the thing behind him. He's got no superpowers, he's just really good with his bow. So, like, you know, they either need to go one way or the other with this, and they can sort of tease you with 616 1 minute and then chuck in Ultimate Nick Fury. Yeah. Like, that's not to take away from Samuel L. Jackson. He does a brilliant job, he plays the character really well, and I'm happy with what they're doing. I just wish it were 616 Fury. But not David Hasselhoff.
Oh, God, no.
I just brought bad memories back for anybody that saw that movie. Mikey, Samuel L. Jackson.
Firstly, on behalf of everyone at the Nerdsphere, since I'm on staff now, apparently, I'd like to apologize for Phil for his abject and complete racism.
It's not racism.
He does not represent the views of the entire Nerdsphere group, and I'm sure he doesn't represent the views of the other two people in this conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Mikey. Thank you for standing up for the man, my brother. What up? What it is?
What exactly. Up, homie? Anyway.
Shut up, Phil. Don't try and appeal to them now like you're feeling guilty. Don't try, you know.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
Go put on your little white hood and go be a grand wizard somewhere. Anyway, before I give Phil a chance to have a comeback, I really liked him. He was basically just playing Samuel L. Jackson, I think, but that's all you need. And again, he didn't blink. I'd like to say that was, you know, he blinked in between scenes. I genuinely just don't think that man needs to blink. if you put him in a Doctor Who episode, the angels would be screwed. and even if he did blink, they wouldn't have the balls to go for him. I just loved him. I'm looking forward to him in the rest of the movies. I'm looking forward to him when they do him in the new Spider-Man movie, because I think the reason Spider-Man's getting rebooted is that it's being brought into continuity. So I'm looking forward to them doing that. But yeah, Samuel Jackson, if there's a flaw, it's that it wasn't his movie. It should have been Nick Fury featuring Iron Man.
Unfortunately, Mikey, there's a bit of flaw to your logic there. Spider-Man is owned by Sony. We will not see Nick Fury in it. We will not get a crossover.
For how long?
We'll see. As long as Sony keep making Spidey movies, the property won't expire, which is why we're getting another Wolverine movie and another X-Men movie, because Fox don't want to lose the rights to the X-Men franchise. So as bummer as it is, we'll not get a Spidey crossover, just like we wouldn't get a Fantastic Four crossover, which we really wouldn't
get. Who cares?
You know,
no one cares.
But you see, the thing with Fantastic Four is the rights to that will just expire, and it'll come back to Marvel, and they'll be able to make their own movie, and then we'll probably get a decent cast, and a woman that actually looks like Sue Storm.
He goes again.
What? I think she is gorgeous. She's just not Sue Storm.
It's because she's the wrong color again.
It's not. She's beautiful. I would... Never mind.
I hope you're listening to this, Matt, and I hope you really consider when you want to keep this man working for you.
You can kiss my ass. Anyway, couple of honorable mentions. We don't really need to discuss these two in depth. John Favreau, obviously the director, returns as Happy Hogan and gets his ass handed to him.
There's one problem with him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be in the movie more than he should have been. I think he forced himself in the script a bit more than he had to have been.
The excessively long boxing match fight type thing was... Blackwood is off kicking everyone's ass.
Yeah.
See, I thought that was kind of funny because he took that long to beat him, and he feels like he's like, yeah, I'm cool. And then he looks down and she's like killed about 10 people.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's funny. It's just it felt forced in, like he didn't need to be there. He was there because he wanted to be in a fight scene and he wanted to be in his movie more than he had to be.
Like, I agree with that. They could have shortened that down, which means we could have had this section from the trailer that was cut where we see Tony jump out of the plane and he says to Pepper, "You complete me," which is such a Tony line. You know, she kisses his helmet and chucks it out and he flies out and grabs it and sort of says, "You complete me," you know, so like, that would have been better than to have all of Favreau's fight, definitely. I definitely agree with that. A couple of other ones. Gary Shandling as Senator Stern.
Awesome. A wobbly, flaccid penis. And he did it very well.
Like, the guy looks weird. The guy has had way too much plastic surgery.
He looked to me enough. Like the guy who played Q from Star Trek. That's who he reminds me of. It's not him, but he totally, I think it's Q.
He is very John DeLancey-esque in his appearance, but I would say John DeLancey's a far better actor.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But yes, no, Senator Stern, that final line in the movie. Oh, dear. So well delivered. And finally, somebody who people may not realize, but Paul Bettany, who provides the voice for the Jarvis computer system.
Loved him.
Underused.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have been in it more.
I just like the fact that he's got a personality. I just love that. And it's a good personality, slightly therapy. Oh, what did you cock up this time?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to see you not naked for a change.
Yeah. And do you know who doesn't get enough credit from this movie?
Who?
That little broken down arm thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looks so sad every time it got given out to.
You just want to pat it on the head.
The thing is, it's like, for the two movies, Tony has been dumping on this mechanical arm, shouting at it. It's like, I'm going to turn you into a toaster or whatever, you know? And it's like...
And a wine rack.
Yeah, a wine rack. And it's like, hello, it's a mechanical arm, but you feel sorry for it. And it seems to be able to emote. Like, when it gets shouts at, it droops and kind of goes down. And it's like, wow, holy crap.
I'm just waiting for the third movie where Tony just goes, you know what, I'm going to turn you into. And it just suddenly latches onto his neck. Lifts him up into the air. And you see a message come across on the screen behind him. This is not right. I am a person too.
Call me Ultimo. Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly.
New villain, a small, depressed robot arm takes out its rage upon the world.
By knocking things over.
There shall be no full glasses of tea tonight.
That's the tagline for the movie.
One day, the arm snaps back. Anyways, we'll run through a quick overview of what the movie was about, and then we'll get into the meat and bones of talking about it. Basically, this is set 6 months after the end of the original movie, and we found out that Tony has negotiated peace throughout the world, and he has decided to run the Stark Expo, which was something that his father did back in the day. The idea of the expo being that it's going to be a year-long thing where people get to come and show their technologies and stuff, just in a way to better the world. We jump to a hearing it's a Senate meeting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where basically they demand that Tony hand over the Iron Man weapon. This is where we get our introduction to Rhodey, who comes in and he is totally misquoted into making it sound like he thinks that Iron Man's a threat. Which is also where we meet Justin Hammer, who gets publicly like shamed when Iron Man when Tony hacks into the computer with his little digital pad thing, which is awesome. And takes controls of the TV screens and shows that Justin has been trying to create Iron Man technology and field, and that around the world they've been trying to do it.
Using the most painful looking scene in the entire movie.
Yeah.
Oh God,
that dude died.
It's like, no, he survived. Yeah, his whole body twisted 180 degrees. No way. So basically, we get the catalyst for why Justin hates Tony so much. We then find out that everything with Tony isn't well, because the palladium inside his arc reactor that keeps his heart beating is poisoning his body and slowly killing him. He's needing to drink some kind of substitute. I don't know what it is. It's some kind of mixture. Can you remember what they called it?
Chlorophyll.
That's what it was. They were drinking chlorophyll to sort of counteract it. So, what we find, Tony, obviously knowing that he's dying, decides to pick a new CEO of Stark Industry, which he gives to Pepper Potts, which was a surprise to me, I suppose. And then replaces Pepper with Natalie Rushman, or Black Widow. We'll cover this bit. So, like, how do you like the way the movie opened up? My friend said it felt like Tony Stark was skydiving into an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Although you gotta admit the Stark Expo ladies were good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, with the lights and the pants.
Yeah, like what you guys were looking at.
It was.
It was right on the chest.
I actually did even notice at one point that they had repulsor lights on their hands, because I did kind of pay attention to the fact that these women did have hands at one point.
I did, when it went like they crossed the hands over the booty. I was like, oh yeah, lights on the booty. Ah, cool. No, they're on the hands. Oh well.
I just sort of like, it's a hand. It's like all those things, like they say, you get caught in the headlights. Mm. We could all be caught in the headlights for a very long time and not complain.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I thought was funny? Those Iron Man suits looked like some of the female Iron Man cosplayers that Phil has shown me before on some of the cosplaying websites.
I've shown you all things.
Yeah, oh, you showed everyone lots of things, and it will be held against you one day in the court of law. And while on the one hand I would like to thank you greatly for showing us those, on the other hand, I will be quite happy to incriminate you.
Okay. What do we all think of the Senate here, and the way that it was filmed, the way that it was made to look like a news thing ongoing? Anybody?
It's a good representation of how the American legal system or government works, I'd say.
Mm.
I'd say that was pretty lifelike.
Yeah. Do you know what I liked? I liked the fact that Tony kept on cocking up. Like, he was trying to, like, oh, I'm, you know, he's trying to act like himself, and then he just looks back and Pepper's just shaking her head. No.
Stop doing that.
No, it was pretty evident. It wasn't hinted at, but it was pretty evident that he was meant to be drunk at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't make that, they didn't have him with a drink in his hand or anything the way they had in the first movie, but yeah, he was clear. It's like, he's like, Tony? Yes, dear. You know, it's like...
Oh, that was hilarious.
You know, it's... I really do think that, like, the way they used the C-SPAN logo and stuff, I think it worked. It kind of dragged you in to trying to believe that this was more real life than some kind of comic book kind of thing.
Mm.
What do we think of Pepper getting the CEO of Stark Industries?
It's very sudden, but makes sense.
Mm.
She runs it anyway, pretty much. So.
But that's what I was going to say. When you think about it, she kind of runs his life in the first movie.
Yeah. It's kind of obvious that was going to happen in that scene. Mm.
I suppose we may talk about the introduction of Natalie, the boxing scene.
I want one. No.
It's like, what, so you're Googling her now? What, I thought I was ogling her. You know,
that's a Phil line.
She modeled in Tokyo. Did you ever model in Tokyo?
Gwyneth Paltrow looked miffed off at that. Like, she's like, Tony. Yeah.
See, again, this was a scene that Jon Favreau was in that kind of, he was there for just being there. Although, you must admit, whenever Natalie kicks his ass, it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
Could have. Why would your driver also be a boxing trainer?
But you see, Happy Hogan's not his driver. Happy Hogan's his bodyguard.
Do you know what I have a horrible feeling?
That's that.
Do you know what I have a horrible feeling they did for that scene? Like, they were doing that scene, and Jon Favreau said, "You know what? We didn't quite get her wrapping her legs around my neck enough. We need to see 20 more times.
Do it slowly."
Yeah. Are you going to get up off the ground anytime? No, and you've got to squeeze a little tighter.
Stay exactly where you are.
What I did miss from the beginning of the movie is the fact that the opening sequence, the credit sequence, if you would, was Ivan with his father, his father passes away. We see the fact that the only thing his father can give him is his experience and his smarts and stuff. And we get Ivan building his own arc reactor. And then obviously the whiplash technology. When you saw that at first, did you find it believable that Mickey Rourke could do that?
Yes.
No reason why I couldn't. But there was one problem I had. Mm-hmm. That was when Ivan's father died. He went, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got flashbacks for Darth Vader. If that was like, huh?
Exactly.
No, I was just sort of thinking Wolverine in Origins.
Yeah, because that happened like twice in Origins, didn't it?
No. That happened every time he turned around in Origins.
See, what he should have done is
the milk has gone off.
That would have done it. Just throwing his bottle of vodka at the TV, because that shows he's angry, but he's not going to do a retarded scream.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like, silly.
It's a Marvel movie. You must express through yelling.
By shouting to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then one day the ceiling shouts back.
Ceiling's going to solve all the problems.
No, 10 years later, he's lying there in the bed. You're my friend, ceiling. Yes, I am your friend. I will feed off your rage. Shout to me, boy.
What we get next, and I'm trying to like move us on.
is the ceiling telling you to move on, Phil?
Is we get the Monaco scene. We see Tony going to Monaco and to watch classic Formula One race, and we get our first glimpse of Tony's special suitcase. We get that whole scene with what's the character called? Christine Everhart. The girl from Vanity Fair magazine from the first one, where we get sort of like, oh yeah, she did a spread on Tony last year. It's like, yeah, she also wrote an article about me. did anybody like, what were your thoughts on that? Did it feel forced? Did it feel, or you know, like, what was the thoughts on the comedy that they used in the movie? I have heard negativity about it.
I liked it. Some people would say it was forced. I would say it comes from the fact that Tony is that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always the guy who wants everyone looking at him. He's always the guy who always wants to be center of attention. And he's a guy who has very little... It's not so much he has little respect for other people. It's he's got little concern for them.
Yeah.
So, like, I could totally see him as a guy who would, like... Someone's coming up behind him, he says. And he says just loud enough for them to hear him. And oh god, it's my least favorite person in the world, Justin Hammer. I could totally introduce him to everyone. Yeah, and then like she was walking away, and he just very clearly, just so that he could just loud enough so everyone could hear, oh, don't leave me with him.
Yeah.
I could totally see him as that guy.
This scene kind of like to me, challenges Tony and. He does what he then does in the respect that he goes out onto the track, kicks his driver out and goes, yeah, I'm driving my own Formula One car today, thanks. And that was basically because it's like, oh yeah, Justin's getting a story done on him. I'm going to make a story bigger than that I get to do it, that everybody's going to be focusing on me. And I don't know if anybody sort of like got that from it as well, or...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because sort of Tony is the ultimate narcissist, you know. He needs to be the center of attention. So we get Tony getting into his car, driving around Monaco. This is when when Ivan makes his first appearance as Whiplash, which he's never directly referred to as. Kind of the same as in the Hulk, they never called Abominus. Abominus, they just kind of called him.
It's an Abomination.
Or sorry, Abomination. Apologies. I was thinking of Annihilus.
And you're meant to be the Marvel fan.
Well, you know, there's that many sort of like big green alien people that they all kind of melt into one. Anyway.
Technically, aren't they all from Earth? This is where you say shut up.
Shut up. Anyways, so Vanko turns up, obviously, with the Whiplash suit and starts to chop Formula One cars into small, teeny bits in an attempt to get to Tony. Now, there's a scene at this point that kind of didn't sit well with me, and it was the whole who's got the suitcase kind of thing. It felt like forced humor.
I'd agree with that.
Just sort of, where's the key? It's in my pocket. Oh, look in the road. You're trying to have a bit of a laugh. It's not funny.
Yeah. Obviously, we find out here that Vanko's the son of a disgraced Russian physicist who collaborated on the first arc reactor. The thing with it, like, what did everybody think of that Whiplash fight? Because, like, I kind of was a bit, when they started hitting him with a car.
How did he not die?
Yeah.
I was wondering that. He's
standing in the car three times, yet you're still standing up but not even being slightly hurt.
What are his ribs made of? Adamantium.
See, this is the thing. Like, he was hit sort of like, what, waist, sort of like abdomen area? Like, okay, he had the Whiplash armor on, and it was meant to be, like, armor of some type, but obviously didn't cover him an awful lot. But I really don't think that suit, as it were, would be enough to really save him from that.
No, let's estimate. Let's estimate that the car was going about 50 miles per hour or so, and it turns and skids into him against a wall. That's going to do some damage.
Oh yeah. Now, this is where we get to see the Mark V armor, which is the suitcase armor. Now, I remember seeing that in the trailer and nearly crapping my pants, going, oh my god, feckin' suitcase armor! That being the big nod back to the cartoon series. Kind of disappointed that it gets trashed pretty much straight away.
It's like 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm. Although, I do like the idea that it's not as powerful as a standard armor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the portable version, kind of thing. I like that.
But again, this is a quintessential part of Iron Man, is that, like, there's an armor for every situation.
Mm.
I really hope that in Avengers, if they do the Avengers story where they have to take down the Hulk, that we get Hulkbuster armor.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is a feckin' huge set of armor. Vanko gets arrested. At the end of the fight.
Before you go on, just, you were talking about the humor there.
Yeah.
When they were going, he's slicing off the bits of the car and everyone's screaming.
Yeah.
Hated that.
See, this is what I'm saying. That whole scene for me kind of needed to be condensed and remove parts of it. That's what I'm saying. The whole point of who's got the armor, who's got the armor, you know.
Yeah. I'd rather see more cars getting sliced in half.
Yeah.
Do you know why he was doing that? He was just tired of that scene. Cut to the next one. Hurry up!
See, this is the thing, and I think this is a weakness of Iron Man 2 as a movie, and we'll probably comment on it a bit later, is the action sequences were not...
phenomenal?
Yeah, right. But to me... and I'm going to sum up a bit early, but to me this was a Tony Stark movie rather than an Iron Man movie.
Mm.
But I'll come back to that fault later.
That's not necessarily a fault.
No. I didn't say that as a fault, but it does take away.
You said you'd come back to that fault later.
So okay. Okay. That thought, I said, not fault.
You said fault.
I said thought. Fault. Shut up. Shut up.
It's your horrible accent, Phil, you know.
It's
don't
my horrible
blame
Mike. Accent. Anyways, so Vanko's in jail. We get a little interaction between him and Stark, which a lot of people have went, oh, is that meant to be the interrogation scene from The Dark Knight? Dark Knight is not the only movie that's ever had two people in a cell talking to each other. Get over
it.
Said
that.
My friend who's a Batman fan, what do you expect? Anyway.
So I'm a Batman fan, but jeez. That's stretching it.
Are you a crazy Batman fan?
I guess not.
Steven is, he dressed as Batman for Halloween, and the 2 years prior to that he dressed as a Joker. I think he's obsessed. Anyways, so Vanko's broken out of jail. We get a jail escape scene, which was quite good.
And a murder,
yeah.
Which was
the guy in that cell died.
Oh, that guy in that cell died. No, yeah, he didn't.
Well, but he was probably some kind of crim anyway, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
No, he was just some guy who was working at a shop, and they said, come with us.
It's like, we've got a job for you, it's an acting job. Really? I've always wanted to be an actor. And it's like, stand in that cell, boom.
with a convicted prisoner, yes. Sounds good.
He's got the same number on his chest that you have.
Why? Oh, no reason. Trust us. We're French.
So...
Trust us, we're French.
Bonjour, you cheese-eating surrender monkeys. Now that's The Simpsons before you go calling me anti-French. Right. Anyways, moving on. So basically, we find out that he's broken out of jail by Justin Hammer because Justin knows that Ivan can create Iron Man technology, and he wants him to fix his iron suits, so that he can show them at the Stark Expo. Because he just wants to be Tony. I don't know how to talk about this, but we get Tony believing that he's not going to reach his next birthday, so it's his birthday party, and he promptly gets drunk inside the Iron Man armor, forcing, peeing himself.
That was painful to watch.
What, the dancing scene or the birthday as a whole?
The birthday as a whole, because I just felt so embarrassed. I was like, oh, for God's sake, Tony, I know you're dying, but don't be such a douche.
But again, that's what I think that scene meant to do. It was meant
to make
you go, Tony, you are a dick. Why are you doing this?
Well, all the people in the party were very stupid.
Yes, they were very stupid.
It's like, Iron Man shouting at me, that's scary. People smashing glasses and blowing things up over my head, nah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's like, quick, throw that watermelon up in the air so I can shoot it.
Hey, that made more sense than glass.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Falling glass is bad.
By a piece of watermelon.
Yeah.
So, basically, the party gets to the point where Pepper calls it off. To which Tony agrees that the party has ended, and it's time for the after party. And Tony just basically gets to the point where Rhodey goes, you know what, I gotta stop him, and goes down and dons the Mark II armor from the first movie. And we have Iron Man versus Iron Man, technically.
Mm.
I don't know whether this action scene lived up to me. What were your guys' thoughts on the fight?
It portrayed a man who was drunk and a man who had no idea what he was doing quite well, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah.
As you can tell, at least Tony knew what he was doing in the suit, even though he was totally off his knocker. But Rhodes was like, oh God, I was impressed he was able to figure out how to fly faster than Tony was.
I think that was my problem, because as soon as the fight ended, Rhodey was able to walk outside and fly away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like, wow. Now, so Tony's
okay.
Just a dump.
Rhodey's a pilot. Sorry, Philly, what was that? Sorry.
How did he get out of the suit?
See, this is the thing, because like Tony's got like a complete system to take it off.
Yes, we're going to hunt him down over this one. I like it. we're going to lift Justin Hammer off, but this scene is what the problem is. What was I saying? I like this, that's it. I like it because it had one of my favorite lines that just made me go, yes, I'm enjoying this guy's roadie. I'm only going to say this once. Get out. I really like that, and it just—I like the fight scene because it was you got to, it was basically there's a guy who knows exactly what to do in a better version, but he's out of his skull right now, versus a guy who has some combat training but isn't really sure of what he's doing. And then it ends in that bit where he's saying, take it, take it, and then you realize he's not saying take the shot, he means take the armor.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But yeah, him flying off the end was just, you've been in this for 5 minutes. Tony nearly killed himself the first time he tried to fly.
I know. Again, I don't know how he knew how to do it, but Rhodey being a pilot, it makes sense that he could probably control it. Because when you see it through his eyes, it still has the same kind of like horizon kind of thing that a normal plane has.
Mm.
You know, for the altitude and stuff like that. So in a way, it made sense that he could kind of know.
I don't know. I think that's really stretching it, Phil.
It is stretching it. But what I'm saying is he's got the knowledge of flight systems, but obviously a flying suit of armor is completely different from a plane. So I'm not excusing it. I'm just kind of like trying to put a bit of logic behind it. But it is weird that he just knew how to fly.
Yeah, you're missing out on one of the big moments that I'm sure made all the Iron Man fans jump up and down in their seats.
And what was that?
So you want to be a war machine?
Oh, yes, yes. But that's the only time he's referred to as War Machine in it. Again, just call him War Machine.
They seem to be against using the names lately in all of the films.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Thor's not going to be called Thor. It's going to be Bob with the big hammer.
Not Terry.
Terry with a hammer.
Mm. No, just of the Boston Thors.
He's going to walk up to somebody in the Thor movie and go, "Hi, I'm Thor," and he's like, "Really? Do you want me to give you a back rub?"
Boom, boom, boom.
Sorry. Anyways, after the fight, Tony, being a bit down on himself, is sitting in a giant donut eating donuts, which I thought was quite a funny sight to see. And he's approached by the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury, who promptly, him and Natasha, give him an injection that sort of like helps with his poisoning but doesn't cure it. And then tells him that the only person that can actually really help him is his father, who's obviously been dead for a long time. I don't know. As you guys said, so like, you know, Nick Fury, putting aside that it is Ultimate Nick Fury, he does really well, and he seems to be another one of these characters that can really ground Tony and be like, "You're going to listen to me." And that's probably just due to the sheer fact that it's just Samuel L. Jackson on screen.
You can't ignore Samuel L. Jackson.
You look away from the screen, he physically reaches out of it, grabs you, and forces you to stare.
It's like... there's motherfucking snakes on this S.H.I.E.L.D. floating platform thing. But anyways, I don't know. How do we feel about the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. knew how to, stop his disease without curing it? Like, I guess in a way, like, if anybody was going to know it, S.H.I.E.L.D. would know it.
Yeah, I was happy enough with that plot hole. It's like, well, the S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess they should know.
I didn't mind them knowing, I just felt that it was the main plot, really, of the movie, and they ended it in such a forced manner.
By stabbing him in the neck.
Well, they didn't really, because, like, all they did was give him some extra time to try and figure it out himself.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It was just like, you went from, basically from the moment they gave him the shot in the neck to the moment he found the cure, it was, you're really just wanting to get this storyline out of the way so you can have a fight. And it was such a big storyline, I would have liked it if they've saved the cure until the very, very last couple of scenes. Like, he's fighting Whiplash and he just goes down. Because it's starting to kick in, and then something happens, and whatever. You could have done that, but I'm skipping a lot of very good stuff in between, but I'm just saying that the overall way to handle this cure was a bit iffy for me.
Mm. So what we get is we get Tony being confined to the house by S.H.I.E.L.D. Not very well. Yeah, we get Agent. Oh goodness, what's his name? Agent Coulson back. Agent Coulson was in Iron Man 1. He was the guy that kept saying the full name of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the first movie, instead of just saying S.H.I.E.L.D. And obviously it was his. That guy is so deadpan.
Mm.
It's like he's almost robotic in a way. It's just like, you're not leaving this house, and if you do, you have me to deal with. You know, it's just like,
I'll chase you and watch Super Nanny as you do.
Yeah, it's like. But obviously, so like we get then we get the scene where Tony is trying to figure out basically what his dad had done. This was questioned by a lot of my friends who've seen it, who really aren't Iron Man fans or maybe not Marvel fans. Is this emotional sort of like thing with Tony and his dad? The fact that Tony always believed that his dad never had time for him, and then as part of the video, which I really liked when they were watching, he was watching the reels of the footage that we saw Tony's dad drank too.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we got the little speech where he said to Tony, you know, like, you know, this is all for you, you know, you're my greatest creation, you know. Did this sit well with you guys, or Philly?
You probably should have said it somewhere in the video, by the way, this is how you work out how to do a new element, instead of being all cryptic.
Yeah.
That would have been too easy. But you see, if that had been in the video, then everybody would have been able to find the new element.
Mm.
But not anyone could have created it.
It was a bit convenient how they played, you'll find it. And the way he found it was a bit...
Oh, that's been done before, though, hasn't it? That kind of... the answers are here. I knew as soon as he said that, I was like, I bet it's something to do with that bloody model he made.
Yeah, that annoying strange model.
Yeah. Don't touch it, Tony! Oh, thanks, Dad, you bastard.
The cutoff scene where he says, don't touch it, Tony! Whack! Why did you make me hit you? Whack! For your own good!
We'll just
really something!
We'll give a quick honorary mention to... Oh goodness, what's his name? John Slattery, who played Howard Stark. Again, didn't have a kind of a large role, but was pivotal to the story in this one. Obviously, in the respect that his planning for this future city was actually just really a map for this new element. I'm really looking forward to see what kind of role he gets in the Captain America movie. Because allegedly he will be, and the original Stark Expo will be part of the Captain America movie, so it will be nice to see again how they can link this together in that respect.
Just be him hitting Tony.
You little shit!
Yeah, little Captain America goes up to a small child and starts beating them up.
This is for your own good, American. Liberty and freedom for all. Bam!
So, getting to what you guys were talking about, obviously Tony goes to visit Pepper, brings her strawberries, which she's allergic to. But out of that scene, we get the fact that Tony takes his father's diorama of the city that he had planned, because that's where the blueprint for the new element... Which I don't think they ever named. Do they name the new element? I don't think they do.
Unobtainium.
It's not unobtainium.
Triangle.
It's triangle?
It's not triangle. That's it.
See, I don't get it, right? An element is a small thing, right? So, like, did he create the element and seal it within the triangle? Or is the triangle the element? Because that's a feckin' huge element if it is.
If the triangle is the element, yes. I'm calling it triangulum.
Triangulum. Oh god.
I actually thought they were going to go with and call it vibranium, since it seemed to vibrate and make a sound.
Vibranium would actually be pretty good. It would be a good way to bring vibranium in that doesn't involve aliens.
Yeah.
So basically,
and then you wouldn't need Black Panther either.
Exactly. So we get Tony constructing this machine that will allow him to create Triangulum, because that's officially what it's dubbed now. Thank you, Philly. We get one of the geek moments from the movie, one of the bits that made me really go, ooh, whenever Coulson's down going, I hear you left the house, and it's like, yep, you're not doing a very good job, are you? And he asks him to hand him an item, and he picks up which looks like a partially constructed shield for Captain America.
Broken after he beat Tony to death with it as a child.
I don't know about you guys, but whenever he picked up that shield and he's like, that's exactly what I need, I nearly crapped my pants.
Did you?
Oh my god, it's Cap's shield! And then for him to use it in the way that he used it, to basically prop up the accelerator, I was like, oh my god.
A little bit of you died inside that day, Phil.
It didn't. A little bit of me, I laughed at that. That was funny. It's like, basically, you took Cap's iconic shield, which has been in both movies now, and use it as something to raise something by a couple of inches. That was awesome.
What was in the first movie?
It was sitting on the desk in Tony's back in the background when he was constructing the armor. At first, and it actually was the full shield. It wasn't a partial shield or anything. It was Cap's shield.
Oh, continuity error.
So, but you see, no, the partial shield, I actually believe, was part of the, I think it was part of the diorama. I might be wrong.
No, it was in the
it
box.
In the box of stuff.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. In the box. There we go. Oh.
See? Continuity error.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't think the shield in the first movie was there for a reason. It was just there. So
no.
Shield!
Still in there.
It's still in there. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Anyways.
I don't think it was part of his possessions. I think it was in the box that he got from the other guys.
From Shield?
Yeah.
No, it was the box he dug up, I think.
It wasn't the box of his personal possessions from Industries, though. Because all that was still left there, he only took the diorama home with him.
No, I looked at it at the box that he dug up from, you know, when he started taking construction construction tools to his house and start digging up parts of the floor. I thought it just came from one of the boxes in there.
Mm-hmm. Anywho's, so basically we do get Tony takes everything that his father had disguised as a diorama to make him be able to create this atomic structure of Triangulum, and he builds it with the aid of Jarvis, obviously, and he creates a new arc light, which is a triangular one, which when he plugs it in immediately cures the disease.
So which, accurate? Is he now triangular chested?
Well, see, I believe sort of like that the color depends on. Are you talking comic book wise or movie wise?
Yeah. Like, does he always have the triangle one now, or is he still circle?
In the comics, it depends on the armor he's wearing.
Right.
But basically, that is just. The light from the arc light in his chest glowing through like a section in the armor. I don't think it.
Oh yeah, I know that. I just meant like the shape, like, because I know it was just a circle before, and I've only seen circles for Iron Man, and I didn't know if it had always been a circle or if that armor plate was just special movie.
Yeah, no, he has had triangular lights on certain armors, and I think again that's more sort of like trying to drag it ultimate ways, but in saying that, the armor all is 616-esque armor, so anyways.
Thank God.
Can I actually ask a question before we go on?
Yes.
Jarvis said the element was impossible to create.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell did they create it? I want you to die, Tony. I want you to die.
It's impossible to synthesize but not create a particle accelerator.
Yeah, but I think that requires a bit more knowledge of physics than the average moviegoer possesses.
But well, you're wrong. We all know particle physicists here.
I was just happy to see her making a particle accelerator. That was like waiting for me.
I just know dead things.
See, this is the thing. I took that as the fact that sort of like Jarvis is going, yeah, this is impossible to create. And Tony being like, again, being the ultimate narcissist, using that as a catalyst to say, yeah, you think it's impossible? I'm going to do it.
Maybe Jarvis just wanted him dead.
Yeah, it's like, I own the house now. Whoa.
You it was all the arm. It was all the arm. The arm was controlling Jarvis and saying, die.
It's like, tell him to die. Tell him to die, Jarvis. I want him to die. So, anyways, getting back to the movie. We go back to Stark Expo. We have discovered that actually Ivan wasn't creating suits of armor, but he was creating drones instead, to which Justin decides to steal his shoes. And his bird, I suppose.
Aww. Where are my birds? Where is my bird?
Bird. I need bird. Bird. Birds are words. Bird. Say bird.
My bird.
Basically we get told, oh, well, we need to go back into the respect that, that obviously Rhodey stole a set of armor and he takes it to the military and, they decide to weaponize it.
After he somehow magically gets out of it.
After he magically gets out of it. I think they teleported him out or something. I don't know. No. So basically it's kind of like, yeah, do you want this weapon, or this weapon? And it's like, I want them all, which is exactly the way War Machine should be. Armed to the teeth, completely unable to move because the suit's too heavy. basically we get a presentation from Justin where he gets to do his epic little dance.
Yeah, he should have been doing Hammer Time.
That would have been awesome. So we then find out, obviously, that Ivan says that the only thing that the armor would be able to do would be, or sorry, the drones would be able to do would be salute, to which Justin is not happy. But so we get the presentation from Justin, and we have the unveiling of War Machine, captained by Rhodey. And then all hell breaks loose. Basically,
You're skipping bits.
Well, you fill in the bits.
You skip the coconut bit.
Yeah.
What coconut?
It tastes like coconut. And you skip whole sinister phone. Yeah, coconut in there. You skip the sinister phone call.
Then fill in the blanks. I'm trying to not do the entire movie here.
But why do I have to do all the work? I'm not the host here. You're
you're the one that said we missed a bit. What bit do you want to talk about that we missed out?
The evil phone call that Ivan makes while the two guys are dangling from the ceiling and the bird is on his knee.
Okay.
Oh. And the blood is on his hand.
Oh, God, I love this.
That actually was a fairly good scene because basically, obviously, he gets his shoe and his shoes and his bird stolen. And his pillows, yeah. So like, yeah, it's like, take his underwear, but don't undress him.
We've already seen Rourke in his undies. We don't need to see it again.
So yeah, so like, obviously Ivan is not a force to be fucked with.
You know what I love?
In jail 5 years, so he knows the biz.
That's true.
Yeah. I just love that scene where he goes, when they're in the cell originally, where he said, if you can make God bleed, people won't believe him anymore and all that. And Tony's giving him the advice in the arc, saying if you doubled up your rates, you'd get better results. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he says on the phone, doubled up, good advice.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Again, sort of that's something very Tony being narcissistic, going, huh, I know how your technology failed, but never actually really thought that it would have came back to bite him in the ass in the way it did.
Yeah, that's like explaining to the good guy your entire plan, and then the good guy beats it. Just this one in reverse.
So, what did I miss about the coconut?
Where are you?
Puts it in his chest. He says it tastes like coconut and metal.
Oh, yes, oh. Yes.
And he turns into like a giant glow thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I didn't remember that line. Thanks for reminding me.
Sadly, Tony Stark was incinerated and just ended very badly.
So we get to pretty much the climax of the movie. After the epic phone call, Tony realizes what the hell is going on and goes to the Stark Expo. And immediately Rhodey starts attacking him because he's not in control of the War Machine armor. And we get the drones are activated and controlled by Vanko from a remote location. And we get the start of a firefight. We'll come back to Natalie's section of this. We'll cover the sort of like the main fight with the drones to begin with. Obviously the expo had my problem with the beginning of this fight is Tony's flying around the expo, getting shot at quite a bit. There's quite a lot of humans here. It takes a good 10 minutes before he goes, "Oh, let's take it away from the expo." I think that's my negative about this fight at that point in time.
Yeah, it's like, if you're going to move it away from the people, you'd have done it, like, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I can let it go, but I think the thing that sort of slowed it up, they did the thing they do in every single hero movie where the small child dressed them thinks that he can fight the bad guy.
Yeah. I actually kind of liked that, but it was, I'd already seen it in a trailer. So it didn't have the same impact that it probably
did. Oh, that was in the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
No, I never saw that one.
It was one of the later trailers. But yeah, it's the whole bit where the big robot's looming over the kid in the Iron Man mask with the repulsor gauntlet toys on, and it's like, oh, and then sort of like obviously Tony destroys it and it's good job, kid, you know. So like that would have had a better impact if I had never seen it before.
Yeah, but then he leaves the kid there when there's still drones around, still dressed as him.
Yeah, it's like, I saved you once, you only get one free pass.
No, yeah, it's like the Family Guy one. Everyone really gets one. Tell them. Apparently everyone only gets one.
But, so we've got this huge firefight going on. And Natalie realizes, well, sorry, that out and back, we see Justin sort of basically going nuts, and we get Pepper and Natalie trying to find out what's going on, and Natalie suddenly discovers that it's Ivan behind it. We get Pepper taking over and actually being a proper CEO and getting rid of her competition, as Justin says. And we get the scene sort of basically that you guys alluded to earlier on, where Natalie goes to take out Vanko. Now, obviously, before that, during that scene, we get Natalie changing in the back of the car into her Black Widow costume.
Yeah, we did.
which gave Jon Favreau his one funny scene in the movie, where he's like staring at her in the mirror and nearly crashes. I thought that was funny.
Again, a scene I feel that he felt needed to be redone a lot.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't staring at you hard enough. Take five.
Because if I was doing that scene, I would definitely... I would definitely just sort of request we do the scene over and over and over again.
What about you, Philly? Would you ask for that scene to be filmed over and over again if you were the director?
At least.
Oh, no. Pretty hot. I will give her that.
So you would want to film that scene over and over again if you were the director there?
If I was the actor as well? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm in Philly. I mean you, Phil. Oh, I know what you'd do. You'd be in the back seat with her. Stop it, Phil. I can't help myself.
Philly, would you like to get in the back seat with her?
It's actually very hot.
There you go.
Oh, God, we've gone to a bad place, haven't we?
We have. Let's keep going. So, obviously,
I should probably apologize for suggesting Philly climbs into the back of the top.
No, don't. I need something for later. Anyways, Natasha...
Sorry! I'm sorry!
Natasha and Happy go to Justin's facility, we get treated to the fact that it takes Happy Hogan the equivalent of beating up one guy for Natasha to take out, was it 10, 12 guards?
Something like that. Yeah, but she's military trained, to be fair.
Yeah, it's true. I know, but Happy Hogan's
like dangling from the ceiling.
Yeah. But Happy Hogan's meant to be a bodyguard. He's meant to be.
Yeah, he's meant to be, but does he look it? He don't look like no bodyguard. I think that's what I alluded to earlier.
See, but this is the thing. It's like he's very bouncer-esque. He's very sort of bulky, but not muscly kind of thing. And that's where I... So, like, you don't ever see sort of like, you know, the likes of, I don't know, like, somebody... Like, Bruce Lee is a bodyguard. You know, some, like, little ripped guy who's just going to go...
That would be awesome!
But then again, dude. Sort of like, you know, if Bruce Lee were your bodyguard and somebody sort of like... poking you and shouting at you and you're like, do something, and he's just standing there in complete silence, and then he just like flicks him with one finger and he flies back 10 feet. It's like, good things to come to those who wait.
Why don't we just put Bruce Lee in the movie and have him fight all the drones?
Well, he's dead, I'm afraid, Mikey.
No, yes, but he'd still win.
He would still win, yeah. The corpse of Bruce Lee beats the Iron Man.
Versus the Tau drones.
So I know you guys talked about it earlier on about Natalie's sort of like fight thing and how it basically was just very generic. I definitely enjoyed it. What was that for?
I think you know.
No, I didn't enjoy it because it was a hot woman in leather beating people up. Well, partially because of that.
I felt sorry for the poor guy who got pepper sprayed in the alleys.
Yeah, that was that was the best bit, because she just rubbed it off on the other guy walking away.
But you're too late to get beaten up, so I'm just going to spray you instead.
I think that was there to illustrate that S.H.I.E.L.D. are... like. But you see, again, did they ever refer to her as Black Widow?
I don't think so.
I don't think they did at a single point in the film.
But then we were them sort of like when Happy sort of like is all happy with himself. Beating up one guy.
That sounded so wrong.
After biting the guy's ear off like whilst having a boxing match.
Yeah, it's like, mine is going to chow down in your ear right now.
That happens in boxing.
Yeah, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, yeah.
The Tyson effect.
At least he left his ear in one piece. He didn't.
We don't know that.
He went back afterwards and said, I must feed.
Marvel Zombies. It's a crossover. Hit it here first.
I'm going to bite your ear lots.
So they get to the room, but Ivan's already gone. Natalie hacks into the system to try and reboot the War Machine armor so that Rhodey can actually fight alongside Tony rather than against him.
And while she's at the computer, which has control of the drones, doesn't reboot them either.
See, that's the thing, yeah. Why did she not turn the drones off? That's a good
question. Or turn the explodey part of the drones off.
She didn't know about that point at that, so... I guess that is a valid point. She wouldn't have known about the bombs, because nobody did until Ivan announced it later on. But, so basically we get Rhodey reboots, and we've got War Machine and Iron Man standing back to back, and we get that little conversation about sort of like, you know, where should we stand, and it's like, oh, go to the high ground, and it's like, well, I'm going to stay down here. That's the kill zone. At which point all the drones arrive and Tony and Rhodey are standing in the kill zone.
I did like the whole big gun part though. Just because you have a big gun doesn't mean you are a big gun.
Yeah.
It's called being a badass.
See, this is the thing. I think the chemistry between Tony and Rhodey worked, even with the new actor, because
he worked better.
Yeah. A lot of people complained about the fact that they had to throw jokes in the action because they didn't want the action to be what it was. But I think it suited the tone. The movie definitely had enough comedy beats in it to not make it a comedy, but to give it like a lighthearted thing.
That's what Tony Stark does, isn't it? While he's fighting people in the armor.
Mm.
It just it suits the character again. It's sort of, he is that kind of guy.
Yeah.
It's not the same way as in sort of like Spidey quips, you know, like it's like a, you know,
like, he's just a smartass.
Yeah, so like, you know, going look like, oh.
Not in the films, he's nice, he's just emo in the films.
Well, you see, that's just Tobey Maguire.
Exactly.
Tobey Maguire is just not Spidey and never has been.
Take that. He's like Sean Long. No offense.
No offense to Tobey Maguire.
I'm going to push your buttons. Anyways, so it ends up sort of like, you know, they take down, they get the drones down, at which point Ivan turns up in a new improved armor suit with the Whiplash technology, which basically I think is meant to be a take on Titanium Man's suit, but they never referred him as that, so we don't
know.
Yeah.
It looked very Japanese and samurai-esque to me.
So they necessarily don't have to say that that was their use of Titanium Man, but it's very, very along those lines. And we get the shortest bad guy fight in the history of movies.
2-on-1, though.
Yeah. Okay, so like Ivan's kicking their tails for a good section of the very short fight.
Good 20, 40 seconds.
Yeah. We then get the flashback, obviously. Well, it's not a flashback, but, you know, it's a throwback to the way that when they were fighting in the house, that when they shot the repulsors against each other, it caused an explosion. Tony sort of says, "So you want to be my sidekick?" And it's kind of like, "What?" Yeah. So it's like, "Just fucking shoot at me, will you?" You know?
Put your bloody hand up.
I know. So, basically, we get that they shoot the repulsors together, we get an explosion, and Ivan's down. And
his face is not burned off.
Yeah, because
why
like,
did he take his mask down during the fight? Why?
Because he's cool, because he's Mickey Rourke.
He wanted to be seen on screen.
Mickey Rourke's face cannot be burned by fire.
I guess not. I mean, that explosion did like nothing to his suit, it just kind of took a little chunk off of it, and that was it. It's like, dude, your face is harder than steel. Jesus.
So we find out from Ivan as he's lying there vanquished that he's planted bombs inside all of the drones, and they're going to go off. Tony's first worry being Pepper, and away he goes to fly and save the day to rescue Pepper.
Pepper being his alcohol, but he couldn't find that, so he just got Pepper Potts instead.
What was the thoughts on that final fight? Like, does anybody feel the way I feel, that it just was too short, or
it was either before it started, it was that short.
This is where I say it's a Tony movie rather than an Iron Man movie. We had drones, we had loads of drones. And then we had Ivan in his suit, and we got maybe a 2-minute proper fight at the end. Mikey,
why are you always going to me? I like, there are elements of it I liked and elements I didn't. I like the fact that they mentioned the Iron Man's output is much higher than it used to be, because then it basically said that he's still technically the strong one.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that during the fight, Iron Man did all the punching and kicking, and War Machine did all the shooting and whatnot. And I liked the go between Pepper and Tony. Just, "You're dying?" "Yes, I was." "No, shut up." I like that.
Yeah.
But the actual fight scenes weren't very impressive. The first movie really only had 2 fight scenes, but they were good fight scenes. This one, it kind of pulls a Revenge of the Fallen. The best fight scene is when the 2 Iron Man armors fight.
Yeah.
Halfway through the movie, and this is just like, well, we need to kill the bad guy. No one cares what you think. I'm sorry, Andy. I care.
Good man.
But yeah,
remember that.
Yeah, I'm scared of you. but yeah, that's basically it. It was just, oh, we're at the end of the movie all of a sudden. Christ, he's still alive. That was how it felt to me. But Andy, since you're better than me, your thoughts?
First off, I'll say that the effects for when they had the Iron Man mask up on Rhodes, it looked a lot more fake. It didn't look nearly as good as it did on Tony Stark for whatever reason. It looked a lot more cheap. I don't know why. And every so often during the special effects robot drone fight, the graphics kind of dipped in and out between very good and very fake, which was a little bit irritating, but I enjoyed the whole drone flying through the skies and shooting dudes, and I liked the fact that the ones with the auto cannons or whatever on the shoulders had to clamp themselves into the ground. I thought that was clever, instead of just going, oh, they're just robots, so they can handle the recoil off the guns. They need to be planted into the ground to use them. I thought that was quite a nice little effect. The fight with Rourke was short, but the effects in it were nice to look at. I liked all the lightning and energy coming off of the whips. So that made it a lot more visually interesting. But yeah, it was crazy short. It should have been a bit longer. Like, maybe the fight continued. Maybe Rourke sent off War Machine to go and do something else and fight some other drones while Tony fought him on his own or something. I didn't mind it, but it could have been tweaked, I think.
I think it sort of it demonstrated how powerful Ivan actually made the suit whenever he realized that that if he used Tony's suggestions, it could be, because he literally is holding his own against two of them. In fact, I would say he had pretty much had them at his mercy, and they had to resort to this explosion to take him down. But again, it kind of felt like Revenge of the Fallen and Give Me Your Face. You know, that fight lasted like 30 seconds too. You know, it was really quick.
Be happy that that Rhodey and Tony didn't combine, or Tony didn't pull out Rhodey's hand and said, "I'll use your parts now to make myself stronger."
Yeah,
and then toss your bits. I'll throw you away after I'm done with you.
Yes, I'll shrug off your carcass like it like
rips off a War Machine's head and arms and just attaches them to his own body.
So after the fight, he obviously rescues Pepper, and they go to the top of a building, and we get the little touching scene where she quits her job as the CEO, and he tries to explain to her talk about, you know, like about dying and stuff, and he finally gives her a kiss, and Rhodey's kind of like, yeah, what are you doing? I'm right here.
Like, hello, I've been here the whole time.
I don't know if I like the fact that him and Pepper kiss. It's kind of set because as he says later on, to Nick Fury, I'm in a kind of stable relationship.
Stable-ish.
Yeah, I don't see Tony as a relationship guy.
She'll either die or Tony will get it on with Black Widow in the next one.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
All you got to do is think back to the first movie where he's walking with two women, and he's like, "Hey, come on, walk with me," and gets a third to follow. You know, I wish I had that power. Anyways, So Rhodey basically says the fact that, hey, my car was down there, and I'm taking your armor to get home. And Tony's like, no. And it's like, it wasn't a question. And away he flies. We then get another interaction between Tony and Nick Fury. And we find out that Natasha had been there for the sole purpose of basically figuring out whether Tony was viable for the Avengers Initiative or not. To which she reads that that the armor is suitable, but Tony isn't. They want him as a consultant rather than a part of the team, and he says he'll do it if you get me one thing, And that thing being that Senator Stern has to present him and Colonel Rhodes with their bravery medals. This scene was definitely Avenger setup. This was there to bring us into the Avengers movie. What did you think again of this, the Tony Nick Fury chemistry sort of this whole scene? We'll go to Andy.
I like the chemistry between them because it worked, but there were a couple of things that really, really irritated me about the scene. First of all, the Avenger file that said Avengers on it, I thought, okay, cool, we're going to get a list of potential characters. Like, I was hoping Tony would open the file and maybe there'd be, if not a couple of pictures there of, like, potential actors, maybe a list of just, like, the real names, like, da-da-da as She-Hulk, da-da-da-da as... like with potential next to them, but no, it's just a file that Nick Fury just takes off him straight away. I was like, oh, come on, you should have just thrown some little more nod to it than just a file with giant Avengers on it. I thought that was a bit weird. And again, I was a bit irritated by the fact that they said consultant for Tony, because I think that could potentially mean that, hey, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to be a second shoe actor on this movie, on the Avenger movie, and he may just be a quick cameo so he can get paid, but not, you know, not be just like a second horse string to the Avenger movie. So maybe it was like they were doing it just in case, but, you know, I don't know.
Before we go to Mikey, let me address that. Comic-wise, Tony never wanted to be an Avenger in Ultimates, which is obviously where this is coming from. Tony doesn't want to be an Avenger. I took that as a setup for Tony to fly in and save the day in Avengers. Basically, they said that the armor would be suitable, but Tony's not. So I take it that it's like, yeah, you're not on the team. And then there's going to be something happens. Not necessarily save the day at the end of the movie, but something happens at the beginning or near the beginning where Tony basically turns up in the armor and... basically saves people's asses, and it's like, yeah, I'm on the team whether you like it or not. You know, that was my take on it, but that's being somebody who's read the comics and stuff like that. And someone
with hope for the future.
And hope with the future. Mikey, what did you think of this Avengers setup scene?
It's a weird one. One, I always thought that he'd be great twin in the first film after seeing the Hulk. You know, the last scene in the Hulk did get the feeling he was basically recruiting a man to help for the Avengers.
Yeah.
But anyway, that aside. Again, kind of like Andy, there were some things in this that irritated me. The whole he's a consultant thing doesn't sit well with me. Because it's either going to be he's not going to be in it very much, or he's going to have to show up and save the day. And I don't think the whole point of these movies is to set up these characters and whatnot. So that when you do the Avengers movie, you don't have to waste time setting them all up again. And him just showing up, I'm a consultant. Now I am Iron Man and you will appreciate me. That's setting him up. but, yeah. I like the comedy in it. The whole narcissism. Agreed. That was great. But, yeah. It just felt off. But yeah, I'd still think it's a good scene. It's just, it suffered from being set up.
Yeah. Philly, what did you think of this scene?
Well, I don't know much about the Avengers, so I was hoping to find out more in that one. And I was kind of thinking, oh, so I don't get to know anything. That's great. But I did like Samuel L. Jackson and Tony reading through his file going, eh. That's kind of right. Well, that was last week, though.
Yeah, that was good, yeah. See, I think me and friends have discussed this, and we have a theory that the folder that he didn't get to read is obviously probably, like Andy's saying, a shortlist of who's going to be on the team. But it would have been nice to see that. I do agree with that. But also, you know, I suppose they probably don't want to sort of, like, stick to characters that are going to have to be there.
That's why you have potential next to the name.
Yeah, yeah. Because it would really be cool to see She-Hulk in there, but I really
I wonder
that would
why Phil.
I don't think that'll happen. Shh. We're not allowed to
go,
discuss
Phil.
My She-Hulk fetish. Anyway.
Let it go, Phil. Let it go.
The final scene, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, is we get Tony and Rhodey getting their medals for bravery from Senator Stern, and we get probably one of the best lines, best comedy lines in the movie. Whenever he's putting Tony's badge on and he sticks the pin in him and he's like, oh, you'd be surprised what a little prick can do. I love that. He definitely, Gary Shandling definitely did really well as Senator Stern for the little bit that he got to do. I guess we should talk about the post-credit scene. Spoiler, spoiler, spoilers. Earlier in the movie, obviously Agent Coulson had been reassigned to New Mexico. And after the credits, we get a car pulling up in New Mexico. And we see somebody getting out, and we're wondering who it's going to be, and it turns out to be Agent Coulson. And he walks to a very large crater, and he calls Nick Fury on the phone and says, "We found it." And the camera pans down into the crater, and we see Thor's hammer just lying right there. And it's like, oh my god, I just shit myself.
Really?
But you see, to me, that was big. Like this is where it all starts to pull together. You know, Thor's hammer has fallen to Earth, which was part of the comics. His hammer did fall to Earth. Which makes me believe that we're going to maybe get the Don Blake / Thor relationship, where Don's going to be able to wield the hammer, and when he does, he becomes Thor.
Yeah, but it's Thor. Like, is there a lot of Thor fans? Because to me, it's just, oh, it's Thor.
It's the guy who fights the Hulk.
Big Thor fandom.
The thing was, I went to see it with Chris, Phil, not you, and Dave, and they were all like, oh god, it's going to be Captain America, and I was like, no, it's not, it's just going to be a Thor one, and they were like, no, it has to be a Captain America one, and when they saw that it was Thor, they were like, oh, it's Thor.
I thought it was going to be the Hulk myself.
No, we've already had the Hulk movie.
Yeah,
it's a complete setup for the next Marvel movie, so and of course when Phil had shown me the Thor ones, it just confirmed it that it was going to be Thor. It's like, guys, it's not going to be Captain America. Don't get your hopes up.
See, I was more excited that it was Thor than Captain America, because I don't like Captain America.
See,
I just find these more interesting.
Thor does have quite a big following, and you know, this mythical hammer just lying there in the middle of the desert in a crater that it's created when it's hit the Earth, you know, I don't know, it just made me go squee. It's like, how the hell do you get excited over just a hammer? But it's Thor's hammer, dude. So like,
Phil, how about this? How about instead of Thor's hammer, it was a zombie head of Deadpool?
It was Headpool. If it had been Headpool, I'd have went, oh my fucking word!
I would have fist pumped then. I would have been boom. Now I'm back on board.
But, oh, you'd just be watching the end of Origins again.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, it's like, as you said, this had to be a link to the next movie. The next movie due out is Thor.
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense for me for it to be Thor's hammer. I want to see how this is going to pull in and how this will link with the Thor movie. Will we maybe see Thor's hammer fall from the sky at some point in the Thor movie, and end up on Earth, and then we get the Earth-bound version of Thor? Because as far as we know, the majority of the Thor movie is going to be based on Asgard. So there has to be a point when he comes to Earth. So potentially was one of the people standing in that crater Don Blake? Yeah.
Well, they said they found him, so.
No, they said they found it.
I'm pretty
heard
sure
him.
They said him.
You really?
I heard him.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I thought
found
it said
him.
It.
Yeah. Two for him, two for it.
peas are gathering together.
Let the nerd sphere debate over whether it was he or it.
Begin.
That's the next many different things, people. Was it he or it?
So, we've got
a 5-hour-long podcast.
Oh my god.
We've gone through the movie. We'll go round the table one by one, and we'll get general overviews of favourite parts. We'll go with favourite parts first. We'll start with the lady. Philly, what was your favourite bit of the movie?
See, everyone else is going to say shitty ones, but for me, it was still building the particle accelerator in the guy's basement. That I like science, so that bit was my favourite part of the entire film, in part from all the shooty, killy, smashy parts.
Mikey?
Favourite part of the film? I don't know. It's a hard one to place for me, because the fights weren't spectacular. There were some good character moments. And watching Samuel L. Jackson not blink was quite fascinating.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, but a favourite... it's one of those movies for me where I can like the movie, but I don't have specific moments that stand out. And then that's fantastic. You know?
That's a good answer. I don't mind that. It's cheap, but it's good.
But again, I could watch that man not blink all day.
Oh, yeah. Andy?
Tony Stark taking apart the American legal system
and
humiliating it. It amused me.
Unfortunately, my favorite part of the movie is just sheer comic fandom geekdom. It is the bit with Captain America's shield.
Honestly, I thought you were going to say the Black Widow fight.
No. That was good, but just seeing Steve's, the equivalent of Steve's shield, because I like Captain America. I'm not like Philly in that respect. I do like Captain America. So seeing that shield...
Swished.
And it just, and me just going, oh, it's Cap's shield. Oh, that's exactly what I need to prop up the particle accelerator. That to me was just awesome. So it was, I think just out of sheer nerdiness and the inner child in me makes me want to see that bit again. So I think this could be a slightly longer point. Our least favorite part, our least favorite idea in the movie, we'll go back around the opposite way. Andy?
The happy dude, less of him. Needs to be hell a lot less of him.
Yeah, Happy Hogan, not necessarily a required part of the movie.
More
Mikey?
Hot women. More hot women.
Happy, Black Widow, Justin. Those three can go away now. And I am especially horrified because the way they did the whole Justin being dragged away. Oh, I'll be back. Oh, I'll be back. Don't come back.
just stay gone. Stay wherever they put you.
I'm pretty sure he'll be back. Philly?
There wasn't enough whiplash in it. I think he should have been in it more and less of Hammond's dancing and eating lollipops.
You know what happened after he did that scene? He crunched and they cut out the... Oh, God, I cut my cheek.
I'm in so much pain.
I can't even remember what I was going to say now. my least favourite part of the movie... I don't know if I have a least favourite part. My least favourite aspect of the movie is the fact that it didn't have... the action that I craved from an Iron Man movie. I do agree that there wasn't enough Ivan. We needed more of Whiplash. We needed less of Happy Hogan, even though I don't hate him as a character. And I totally disagree that we don't need Black Widow. The Black Widow just needs to be given something to do. And I have a feeling that maybe that is a setup to allow her to be a member of Avengers as well.
Unless... Oh yeah, that'll be fun. Her fighting the Hulk.
Well,
look at me. I'm doing flips.
Her Hulk face. Smash.
No, no, you just are flying into this thing like with Looney Tunes music. Do you know what the Avengers movie is going to be?
What?
It's going to he beats everyone, and then 2 hours of the Hulk versus Thor.
But you see, no, because Cap's been able to hold his own slightly against Hulk.
He's done it.
that doesn't make sense, really. I mean, I'm not a comic, you know, I make it very clear, I'm not a major comic book fan of any sort. But Captain America's at best able to lift a couple of tons.
Yeah,
Hulk
but...
can break planets.
Right, but Hulk,
can break planets.
The thing with Cap and Hulk is Cap has a shield. The shield is, it changes what it's made from. It was originally meant to be...
It's vibranium now, isn't it?
It's vibranium adamantium alloy. So it's basically unbreakable.
Of course.
Yes, but the guy holding it isn't.
Yeah, right, but the guy holding it has had the super soldier serum injected in him. So basically, if the Hulk goes to punch him, the shield will absorb most of the kinetic force. Therefore, like, yes, it'll still move Cap, but...
Move him? Then flung.
But the thing with Cap is, he's agile, he's fast, and he can throw that shield properly.
It doesn't... I know this, because I remember... I haven't read many comics, but I read the whole Maestro thing. Cap can't throw it hard enough to actually hurt him.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, he can hold his own against him. He's never going to beat him.
I'm just trying to... Yeah, it absorbs most of the kinetic energy. Mm-hmm. But given how strong that guy is, even a fraction of it could probably break a mountain.
Mm. Now, obviously we get Tony with the Hulkbuster armor. So we know Tony has the ability to stop him.
Or hold it on for 10 seconds.
Yeah, right. Wasp. Doesn't matter. Giant Man.
No, she could get inside of his ear and then shoot his brain.
Yeah. Giant Man.
Who cares?
Who cares? I actually like Hank Pym, apart from the fact that
he's a woman beater.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one aspect of his character I don't like. Yeah.
Didn't he get his, like? He's a bastard, and in the ultimate, remember that Ultimates cartoon that was out?
Ultimates cartoon, he died. Spoilers.
Hulk broke his knee.
Yeah.
That was the best scene in it. I was yes, you're a git. Break his knee. Rip off his fucking leg.
Hawkeye again would need to be long distance. Some of his trick arrows may slow him down, but again, he's not going to be any force to be reckoned with. The Vision, probably not going to be in the Avengers movie. Yes, the Vision can phase the way Kitty Pryde can do, so he technically could phase inside his head and go solid and kill him.
He wouldn't though.
But he wouldn't, because the Vision's not a murderer. And then we have
tell
Thor,
him that you should
obviously.
Be.
Now, this is assuming, and we're obviously getting way off topic here. This is assuming that the Avengers movie goes the way that we expect it to go, and that it's the Avengers versus Hulk.
I would have thought it'd be more Ultimo, big evil robot dude.
I'm expecting to see any of the guys who are still alive brought back, like Abomination. I'm definitely expecting to see him back.
I don't know. See, but then again, the whole movie doesn't need to be the Avengers versus Hulk. That could be just the beginning. Get Hulk back on side, kind of thing.
I will see.
But again, so like it depends. It depends.
I just wanted to see a realistic one where he kills everyone, and then it's just him and Thor. Because realistically. Since they're all about realism, he would kill everyone, and then him and Mr. Blondie would just beat the crap out of each other for the rest of their lives.
Everyone else is just to distract Hulk for 5 minutes until he gets there.
quick, we'll fight him. Crap, someone called the long-haired git.
Now, the long-haired blonde one could either be Thor or Sentry.
No.
Oh, not that moron.
But then that means all he's got to do is lift him, flap into space, and throw him into the sun. Because we all know that's what the Sentry loves to do.
You have crossed the road when you shouldn't have. Picks a random person off the street.
In the sun.
Or he could do what he does in Siege, and that's just rip Ares in half. Oops, sorry. Anyways.
That you should have said that was a spoiler for people that haven't read Siege.
Yeah.
Oh, well, come on. That was like an issue 2. Like, Siege is on issue 3. Anyways, spoilers.
Bit late now, boys.
I think spoilers have been covered for a while.
Yeah, I really do think if somebody's listened this far, But then again, they may have watched the movie but not read the comics. Anyways, so we'll give final thoughts and scores out of five. Final thoughts on the movie, and give me your rating, please, Philly.
I just, if there'd been more whiplash in it, I would actually probably give it a five. But probably because I'm probably going to give it a four. Just because there wasn't enough whiplash in it, and there was too much a Happy Hogan dude.
I think it's unanimous that we all want less Happy.
Mm.
Mikey.
Well, that's not what I hear from you, Phil. If you know what I'm saying. Boom, boom.
Happy time. Mikey.
I've just got some very bad images right now. 3.5. Because I do feel that the bad elements took away from it too much to really give it a really good mark. But there are some very, very, very good elements in it.
Mr. Millman?
It's a good sequel, but it's not an amazing sequel. 3.5. I'd agree with Mikey. There are some poor elements, but there are a lot of good things as well. It's not Revenge of the Fallen, thank God, but it's not better than the first Iron Man movie.
You can't think of a sequel that's better to compare it with, can you?
What? A horror? What do you mean? Like a worse one than Revenge of the Fallen?
No, the way it's not Revenge of the Fallen, but it's not...
The Dark Knight, because The Dark Knight was better than Batman Begins.
Yeah. I would actually argue that.
Mm.
I would say The Dark Knight is carried entirely by one character, and the rest of the characters are very unimpressive.
You're wrong, but that's for another discussion.
I'm right, and no. That's all the discussion. I'm right.
And my final opinion, moving along, it's definitely, it doesn't push the envelope. It's an Iron Man sequel, but it doesn't take you any further than what the original Iron Man movie did. It's definitely not groundbreaking. It's enjoyable. Like, you could go in and sit down. I know Philly's seen it twice. You can go in, you can go in there, and there's not a lot of thinking required, which I like with my comic book movies. And it's entertaining, you know? So, like, there's enough of a story there to keep it going. There is negative points to it. There are plot holes. There's Happy Hogan injecting himself wherever he can. But yeah, I'd say a four as well. Basically, A, because I'm a Marvel fan, and B, because I did come out of it not feeling like I was cheated out of anything. It could have been better. It definitely could have, because there was so much potential there. This narcissistic guy who believed he was going to die, who's got the world's ultimate weapon. You know, we didn't really get that. And I don't like the fact that Tony's drinking problem was completely ignored in this one. You know,
I would disagree with that. I would say that it was substituted for the palladium thingy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they could have got away with alcoholism in a 12A movie. So I thought they were able to get around that quite well.
Yeah, I suppose this was their way of sort of doing, what is it, Demon in a Bottle or whatever the heck the story was called. Yeah, so... not a perfect Iron Man movie. I still think that the first one maybe pips the post for the two of them. Would anybody agree with that? That the first is the better of the two?
Oh, yeah.
But it was enough. It maybe suffered in areas because of the Avengers setup.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you know, Marvel want to make sure everybody's hyped for Avengers. So, because I know I...
That won't backfire at all.
Oh, no, not at all. We'll just go sidetrack. Obviously, we know Thor's next. And then we've got Captain America coming up. Has this movie made you worry about Thor? Or has it made you worry about where the Marvel movies are going? Or has it made you feel excited, Andy?
I'm nothing Thor. I don't feel anything towards Thor. I'm going to see it, but I've never cared for Thor at all, so I don't really mind what they do with it. Hopefully they'll just make it entertaining. Cap, I hope they don't give him his retarded suit that he seems to be wearing now in Siege, because that's stupid. I look forward to seeing how they do his suit, because that thing's going to be hard to pull off and not look ridiculous. I don't know. I've got hope for Marvel, but I think it's more of a wait and see, because we need to see who's directing these movies, and who directs it totally depends on how well they could potentially come out.
Yeah, yeah. Mikey?
I'm kind of with Andy. It's with Thor, it's not going to happen much, Andy. Enjoy it while it lasts. I'm very much sort of, yeah, I don't care who you are, but I'll watch your movie and see if I end up caring, you know? I mean, and then with Captain America, another one I just don't care about. Yeah, you're a walking flag. Go away. they're not the characters I'm interested in, you know? I mean, I'm actually, as a character, I'm more interested in if they did a Hulk sequel.
Yeah.
Because I found the way they played him was very, very good, and both him and Bruce were very well played as characters, so I'd like to see them do a Hulk sequel, which delved more into the psychology of the two of them. But that would, if they announced that, I'd be going, yes, I will be in the cinema first day with Captain America and Thor. Sort of, I'll see him. I might see him the day before they go out to the cinema, but I'll see them. You know.
And Philly.
I want to see Thor. I'm not so fussed about Captain America, but I do want to see Thor. And I'm hoping it's going to be decent. They kind of led up to it quite a lot, so I'm hoping it's going to be good.
I have high hopes for Thor, because Kenneth Branagh is directing it. We know Kenneth Branagh can direct well.
What's he doing?
Kenneth Branagh is more a thespian kind of thing. Like, he's done, like, a lot of, like, those kind of, like, Shakespearean kind of things. So, he can direct epics. You know, he has the ability to direct something that is going to have substance to it. So, that kind of has me sort of, like, okay with Thor. On a quick side note, quick question for Philly. Have you seen the picture of Thor in costume for the movie yet?
No, I haven't. I'm just trying to avoid everything.
Wait, this is not a spoiler, but just to let you see what he looks like in the movie, just to try and get your reaction to see if it gives you any kind of thing. While you're looking at that, I'll comment on Cap. I was kind of... Cap, I'm not sure about. Obviously, we've got Chris Evans, who played Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four, playing Cap. I think he's a good enough actor to pull it off, as long as he bulks up a bit. A lot of people are worried about that he doesn't have the on-screen presence to boss Robert Downey Jr. around. But as my answer to that is, Cap's never bossed Robert Downey Jr. around, and he's never bossed, Iron Man around. He's never bossed Thor around. He's the leader due to respect. So it's, they listen to him because they respect him and know that he has the training to lead this team. So as for Cap's suit, I'm kind of hoping they go with the Ultimates thing from the beginning, where he's got the proper army helmet with the goggles and stuff on it, only it's blue. But again, I'm kind of, that's my concern about it, is what's the suit going to look like? It could be a weird one, but I hold hopefully for it. But so Philly, have you had a chance to look at Thor?
Yeah, I know. I want to see it even more.
Yeah.
I do really, really want to see the new Thor film now.
Yeah, so obviously it's Chris Klein. Is it Chris Klein?
I think you said that's what his name was.
Sorry, Chris Hemsworth, who was Kirk's father in the relaunched Star Trek movie. So I think he has a screen presence to play Thor.
I was having a conversation after we came out of Iron Man. And just sort of Thor came up and said, I hope they don't actually do him sounding Norse. Sort of, I am from Sweden. I am the Asgard god of thunder and rock and roll, yeah.
No, he'll have an American accent in my idea.
Are you, Loki?
But whether or not they will have him saying things like, have at thee and stuff like that.
Have at thee now, yeah.
Oh, for goodness. Oh, dear.
Mjolnir, I throw my hammer.
Indeed. Indeed.
Philly is a bit of the bollocks, yeah.
What? With that, I think we'll wrap this up.
I live for those moments of realization.
Any final thoughts before I give you guys a chance to say goodbye?
Yeah.
Right. Philly, you're new to the podcasting scene. I don't know if you do anything that you want to let anybody know about. If not, you can just say goodbye.
Yeah, I'll just say goodbye.
Mikey, pimp yourself out for a second.
G-Wolf V3, I'm great. Yeah.
Have at thee.
Wow.
Andy.
I'm Cobra Commander TFW. I'm on YouTube. If you don't know, do Moonbase 2. If you don't know, talk about Transformers and junk. And I'm looking forward to the Green Lantern movie,
which I'm sure there'll be a round table about at some point, which I'll not be part of because I.
Oh yeah.
Yay, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool. Oh yeah.
No,
anyways.
No.
Shut it, you.
They ruined Deadpool in that movie.
It's okay, that because that's not Deadpool. No. That was a clone. And Deadpool is going to be Deadpool.
Yeah, better be.
Plus, we got to admit he did a kick-ass job as Wade Wilson.
Until he died.
Yeah. Until the clone turned up.
For 2 seconds.
Kidnapped him.
Anyways, you all know who I am, so I'm not going to say anything. So with that...
Who are you, Phil?
No one knows who you are.
I'm Phil. I'm Hot Rod G1. I'm on YouTube. I'm on the ABC podcast. And I did this!
I'm on Twitter too. I'll say that now.
What?
We're all on Twitter apart from Philly and G-Wolf.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we're all on Twitter. Stalk us on Twitter and Facebook.
Twitter is the tool of the devil.
Yeah, Mike is
I'm not lying on Twitter. Twitter rules.
Yeah.
I have too many words to use to reduce it to constrained characters.
Oh, go say some bad things.
Don't kill me! I'm not tweeting and I'm not going to go dig up dead things. It's
tweeting.
Tweeting, bollocks, talking.
It's called tweeting, unlike Bill McElfresh, who seemed to think it was called twatting. But let's not go there.
I love to twat every day.
Oh, yeah, I love a good twat. Anyways, with that, we're going to say goodbye. That was many different things on Iron Man 2. Bye, guys. Say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Bye.